Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldhar, and today we're on Maseches Pesachim Daf Yud Beis. So the three topics we're going to focus on: number one, the Gemara brings a Mishnah from the Sanhedrin Daf Mem Amud Aleph that states, in regards to Edim who testified that they saw someone kill, Haybotkin Oso B'Sheva Chakiros, the court would check the trustworthiness of each witness with seven questions about when and where they saw the killing. Be'ezah Shavua, Be'ezah Shana, Be'ezah Chodesh, Be'kama V'Chodesh, Be'ezah Yom, Be'ezah Shah, Be'ezah Makom. During which Shemitah cycle, which year of the Shemitah cycle, which month of the year, which day of the month, which day of the week, which hour of the day, and in which place. These questions are in a category called chakiros. There are other questions called bedikos, which Rashi explains are such questions as, what did he kill with, a sword and an axe? The Gemara on our daf asks what the practical difference is between chakiros and bedikos and answers. Then in regards to chakiros, if one of the witnesses answers that he does not know, their edus is disqualified. Dehavale edus shi'ata yachul hazima, because it's testimony that cannot be refuted through hazama, since the second set of witnesses will be unable to prove his testimony was false by testifying he was somewhere else at the time of the crime. If one of the witnesses cannot answer one of the bedikos, their testimony is still accepted since their testimony can be refuted through hazama. Rashi explains that whether the accused was wearing black clothes or white ones has no bearing on the time and location of the offense. Point number two, the Gemara on Amud Beis brings a braisa that lists the times that different people eat in the morning. Shal Rishona Malchal Ludim, the first hour of the day is when the cannibal tribe called the Ludim eat because they're gluttons. Shnia Malchal Lisim, the second hour is when thieves eat who are also gluttons but get up later since they're up at night. Shlishis Malchal Yorshim, the third hour is when inheritors eat since they don't have to go to work. Revis Malchal Poling, the fourth hour is when workers eat because they have to carry out their work first. Chamishis Malchal Talmid Chachamim, the fifth hour is when Talmid Chachamim eat since they're busy learning they should wait until the last possible time. And Shishis Malchal Adam, the sixth hour is when all other people eat. The Braisa concludes, Mekan Ve'el Kazorik Evan Lechemes. One who eats past this hour is like one who throws a stone into a leather sack. Rashi and Shabbos on Daf Yud Amud Aleph explains this to mean that either it's harmful to the body or that it's not harmful to the body, but it's not helpful either. Abai says that this was stated only to Lotan Midi B'Tzafra, when he did not eat anything at all in the morning. However, if he ate something in the morning, this doesn't apply. And point number three, Rav Simi Bar Ashi said that the Mishnah said him regarding discrepancy in testimony was only taught B'Shalos regarding discrepancy in the hours of the day. However, if one witness testifies that he saw someone kill before the rising of the sun, and one witness testifies he saw the person kill after the sun rose, Edusim Betela, this testimony is disqualified. The Gemara asks that this is obvious since people don't get confused between these two time periods. So the Gemara changes the wording to. However, if one witness testifies that he saw something before the rising of the sun, and one witness testifies that he saw something during the rising of the sun, which Rashi explains to mean at the beginning of the sun's rising, their testimony is disqualified. The Gemara says that this too is obvious, and then clarifies that one might have thought they're saying the same thing. The one who said it occurred at Nates was present at the globe before sunrise, and it was merely a radiance he saw, and he mistakenly thought the sun was already rising. Rav Simi Bar Ashi is coming to say that no one would make such a mistake. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Gemara brings a Mishnah from Sanhedrin that states that in regards to witnesses who testify that they saw someone kill, the court would check the trustworthiness of each witness with seven questions about when and where they saw the killing. During which Shemitah cycle, which year of the Shemitah cycle, which month of the year, which day of the month, which day of the week, which hour of the day, in which place. These questions are in a category called chakiros. There are other questions called bedikos, which Rashi explains are such questions as, what did he kill with a sword and an axe? The Gemara in Ardaf asks what the practical difference is between chakiros and bedikos and answers. Then in regards to chakiros, if one of the witnesses answers that he doesn't know, their edus is disqualified. The havale edus shi'yata yakul hazima, because it's testimony that cannot be refuted through hazama, since the second set of witnesses will be unable to prove his testimony was false by testifying he was somewhere else at the time of the crime. If one of the witnesses cannot answer one of the bedikas, their testimony is still accepted, since their edus can be refuted through hazama. Rashi explains that whether the accused was wearing black clothes or white ones has no bearing on the time and location of the offense. Point number two, the Gemara on Amud Beis brings a braisa that lists the times that different people eat in the morning. Shal Rishona Malchal Ludim, the first hour of the day is when a cannibal tribe called the Ludim eat because they're gluttons. Shnia Malchal Lisim, the second hour is when thieves eat who are also gluttons, but they get up later since they're up at night. Shlishis Malchal Yorshim, the third hour is when inheritors eat since they don't have to work. Revis Malchal Poling, the fourth hour is when workers eat because they have to carry out their work first. Chamishis Malchal Talmid Chachamim, the fifth hour is when Talmid Chachamim eat since they're busy learning they should wait until the last possible time. Shishis Malchal Adam, the sixth hour is when all the people eat. The Braisa concludes, Mekan Ve'el Kazorik Evan Lechemes. One who eats past this hour is like one who throws a stone into a leather sack. Rashi and Shabbos and Daf Yud Amud Aleph explains this to mean either that it's harmful to the body, or that it's not harmful to the body, but it's not helpful either. Abai says this was stated only to Otam Midi Batsafra, when he didn't eat anything at all in the morning. However, if he ate something in the morning, this doesn't apply. And point number three, Rav Simi Barashi said that the Mishnah said him regarding discrepancy in testimony was only taught Bishalos regarding discrepancy in the hours of the day. However, if one witness testifies that he saw someone kill before the rising of the sun, and one witness testifies he saw the person kill after the sun rose, Edusim Batela, their testimony is disqualified. The Gemara asks that this is obvious since people don't get confused between these two time periods. So the Gemara changes the wording to. However, one witness testifies that he saw something before the rising of the sun, and one witness testifies that he saw something during the rising of the sun, which Rashi explains to mean at the beginning of the sun's rising, their testimony is disqualified. The Gemara says that this too is obvious, and then clarifies that one might have thought they're saying the same thing. The one who said it occurred at Nates was present at the globe before sunrise, and it was merely a radiance he saw, and he mistakenly thought the sun was already rising. Rav Simi Barashi is coming to say that no one would make such a mistake. All right, so now we go to our Simon for Daf Yud Beis, and our standard Simon is 12 brothers. 12 brothers, not the Shvatim, but just 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers who owned a diner, who were peppered with 7 questions about the patrons who came for breakfast throughout the morning, recognized the picture of the suspect. But some said he came before Nates, and others said he came at the beginning of Nates. Once again, in slow motion. The 12 brothers, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers who owned a diner who were peppered with 7 questions, which reminds us the Gemara clarifies that the reason if one witness can't answer one of the 7 chakira questions regarding the time and location of the event, the Eidus is batal, because it's Eidus Shiata Yachul Hazima. Whereas by Bedikos, if one can't answer a question, the testimony stands because it's Eidus Shiata Yachul Hazima. So the 12 brothers who owned a diner who were peppered with 7 questions about the patrons who came for breakfast throughout the morning, which reminds of the different times that people eat in the morning, the looting thieves, inheritors, workers, Tamlei Chachamim, and everybody else. So the 12 brothers who owned a diner who were peppered with 7 questions about the patrons who came for breakfast throughout the morning recognized the picture of the suspect, but some said he came before Nates, and others said he came at the beginning of Nates. Which reminds us that Simi Barashi said that the discrepancies in Eidus can still stand when the discrepancy is in hours. But if someone says that the event occurred before Nates and someone else said that it occurred during Nates, the Eidus is batal because no one would confuse those two times. So once again, the 12 brothers who owned a diner who were peppered with 7 questions about the patrons who came for breakfast throughout the morning recognized the picture of the suspect. But some said he came before Nates and others said he came at the beginning of Nates. All right, now it's time for our 4 blot back Chazara. Daf Ches. So the Simmer Daf Ches is Challah. So here goes. The scorched Challahs, that must mean we're on Daf Ches. The scorched Challahs were a result of the person who mistakenly used a torch for Bedika, which reminds us, the Gemara in Daf Zayin on the base brings a braisa that says, "In Bokim lo or hachama v'lo or halavana v'lo or havuka elo or aner." We cannot search for comets using the light of the sun, the light of the moon, or a torch. We need to use the light of a candle. The Gemara on our Daf asks why a torch may not be used based on 2 statements from Rabbi, who brings a pasuk that teaches a torch is stronger than a candle and stated, "Avuka lahavdala mitzvah mina muvchar." A torch is the best thing to use for havdala since its light is stronger than a candle. The Gemara brings 4 answers. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak answered that "Ze yachol achnisa lechoinot stalking v'ze enu yachol achnisa lechoinot stalking." This one, a candle, can be brought inside holes and cracks, thereby being ideal for searching for chametz. And this one, the torch, cannot be brought into such places. Razvid answered that "Ze or lefanav v'ze or lachrav." This one, the candle, gives light in front of a person, thereby being ideal for searching for chametz. And this one, the torch, gives light in the back of the person. Rapapa says that the torch makes one afraid that he'll burn down the house. And Ravina says the light of the candle is steady, whereas the light of the torch flickers. So the scorched challahs were a result of the person who mistakenly used a torch for Bedika, who almost burnt down his entire house after checking the small cracks and holes full of scorpions, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a brace which states, "We do not obligate a person to put his hand into holes and cracks to search for chametz, as this is dangerous." The Gemara explains, "Mifnei sakanas akrav," because of the danger of scorpions that are inside these spaces and might sting a person who sticks his hand inside. The Gemara adds that Rabbi Elazar says that shulchei mitzvah einu nizokin, one who goes to do a mitzvah will not be hurt. Rav Ashi answers they were concerned that he had lost a needle, and after he finishes searching for the chametz, he'll look for his needle. During the time that he's looking to find his missing needle, he'll not be protected. So the scorched challahs were a result of the person mistakenly used a torch for Bedika, who almost burnt down his entire house after checking the small cracks and holes full of scorpions next to the wine barrels in the basement. Which reminds us, in the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amidah, Beis Shammai said that when one searches his basement of wine barrels, he must search Beishuros al-Pnei Kol Amartiv, two rows on the face of the entire basement. Rav Yudin said the Beis Shammai meant the two outer rows of barrels from the floor to the ceiling. Rav Yochanan said the Beis Shammai meant Shura Achas Kamin Ga'am, a single row in the shape of the Greek letter Gam, which means all of the outer rows of barrels from the floor to the ceiling, and all the highest rows of barrels facing the ceiling. Beis Hillel said in the Mishnah that one must search Shtei Hechitzonos Shehen Elyonos, the two outer ones which are the highest ones. Rav said that Beis Hillel meant the highest row which is the closest to the outside, and the row underneath it. Shmuel said that Beis Hillel meant the highest row, which is the closest to the outside, and the row behind it. Daf Tes. So the symbol for Daf Tes is a teapot. So here goes. The Chul that spotted jumping out of a teapot. Teapot? That must mean we're on Daf Tes. The Chul that spotted jumping out of a teapot, leaving some chametz behind, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that Ein Choshishin Shemagera Chul de Mabayis Mabayis Makam Makam. We're not concerned that a Chul that dragged chametz from house to house or from place to place within the house. The Gemara says that this implies that we're not concerned for the possibility. But if we do indeed see a chul to bring chametz into a place that was already searched, then we do have to search again for the chametz in that area. The Gemara asks on this, why does another search have to be done? We should assume that the chul that ate the chametz. The Gemara brings a proof to this concept from a mission that said, that if a chul that enters a place where there might be a dead body buried there, we can assume that he ate it. Rabbi Zera answers, Habasa habalechem. This one, the Mishnah discussing a dead body, is meat. And this one, our Mishnah that discusses chametz, is bread. A chul that completely finishes eating meat and leaves nothing over, but does not completely finish eating bread and leaves some over. Since a chul that leaves over bread, we have to search again if we see it bring chametz into an already checked area. So the chul that spotted jumping out of a teapot, leaving some chametz behind, didn't find the guarded chametz in the closet. Which reminds us, on this, the Mishnah states, we're not worried that a chul that will drag a piece of chametz from a non-checked area of the house into a checked area of the house. The Gemara asks that at the end of the Mishnah on Daf Yud Amud Beis, we learn the chametz that one wants to leave over after the search for chametz, in order to eat it, he needs a place in a guarded place, so that he will not need to do another bedika. Meaning that if one didn't place his chametz in a guarded place, we are concerned that a chul would take it, and then one would have to do another search in his house. If so, why does our Mishnah say that we're not worried that a chul will bring chametz from a non-checked area of the house into a checked area of the house? Abai explains that on the 13th, when there's chametz in every house, a chul that doesn't hide the chametz that he has because it's not worried that it will run out of food. And on the 14th, when the chametz is not found in every house, the chul that does hide the chametz. Therefore, on the 14th, we are concerned that the chul that took away the chametz and hid it. Rav and Rav Mari give two other answers. So the chul that spotted jumping out of a teapot, leaving some chametz behind, didn't find the guarded chametz in the closet. So he took some chametz from a pile next to matzah and scampered into a neighbor's home that had not yet done a bedika. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a case of one pile of matzah and one pile of chametz, and there are two houses there, one which was searched and one which was not. Two mice came, and one took from the pile of matzah and one took from the pile of chametz, and each one entered a different house, and we don't know which one entered which house. The Gemara says that this is comparable to a case of a brisa that says if there are two baskets, one full of chulin fruit and one full of fruits of truma, and next to them are two containers, one holding fruits of chulin and one holding fruits of truma, and each one of these containers fell into a different basket, then we assume that the chulin fell into the chulin and the truma fell into the truma. So too, in our case, we can assume that the chulda with the chametz dragged it into a house that was not checked, and the chulda with the matzah dragged the matzah into the house that was checked. The Gemara concludes that the Rabbanan were lenient because both cases involved the Rabbanan. Truma nowadays is a Rabbanan, and Bedikas chametz is a Rabbanan.
Daf Yud. So the similar Daf Yud is a minion of Yidden. So here goes. The minion of Yidden. Minion of Yidden. That must mean we're on Daf Yud. The minion of Yidden who couldn't find the chametz the mouse brought into their checked shul, which reminds us, the Gemara and Daf Tes Amud Beis and our Daf discuss the halachas for seven situations of chametz. The fifth case was al ubadak v'lashkach. If a mouse went into a searched home with chametz and the owner searched his house and didn't find it, the law can be derived from a malchus between Ramir and the Rabban, as it's learned in the Mishnah in Nida, regarding a case where a pile of stones containing tuma from a corpse became confused with two other piles of stones that were tahor. If all three piles were searched and still no trace of tuma is found, Ramir said kodavish becheskas tuma. Anything that has a chazaka being tamei is always assumed to be in its state of tuma. Until it becomes known to you where the tuma is. The Chachamim say, he should search until he reaches a layer of rock or virgin granite, and if the tuma is not found, he may assume it's no longer there. Rashi explains that he may assume a raven or a mouse came and removed them. In the case of chametz, even Rabbi Meir would agree that the house need not be searched again, since the requirement is only the Rabbanan. Rashi explains that we can assume the mouse ate the chametz. So the minion of Yidden who couldn't find the chametz the mouse brought into their check shul, emergency dialed the chametz busers who came with their ladders. Which reminds us, Rava asks in a case of kikar b'shmei korah, a loaf of bread which is on top of the beams of the ceiling, sarach sulam l'harido or ein sarach, does one need to get a ladder to take it down or not? Do we say that the rabban do not require a person to get rid of chametz that's so high up, as no one will accidentally eat it, or maybe it might fall and then someone will eat it? Rava asks further, that if the rabban were indeed concerned in the above case, what's the halacha if a loaf of bread is in a pit? Does one need to get a ladder to get it out? Do we say that the rabban do not require that, being that it will not come up on its own, or maybe someone might go into the pit to use the bathroom and when he sees it, he'll eat it? Rava's last question is, what is the halacha if the loaf of bread is in the mouth of a snake? Do we say that one's required to hire a charmer who can get the bread out of the snake's mouth? Or do we say that the chametz did not require one to spend money on doing the search for chametz? The Gemara leaves these questions as a teiku. So the minion of Yin who couldn't find the chametz the mouse brought into the Czech shul, emergency dialed the chametz busters who came with their ladders on the morning of the 14th at the time of Biur. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Rav Yehuda says, Botkin or Yudal Yudal Shachris Vishasa Biur. We need to search for chametz on the night of the 14th of Nisan, the morning of the 14th of Nisan, at the time that we burn the chametz, which is during the 6th hour of the 14th. The Chachamim say that if one did not search for chametz on the night of the 14th, then he must do on the 14th, and if he didn't check on the 14th, he needs to do it during the Moed, which Rashi explains to mean during the time that we burn the chametz, meaning during the 6th hour. And if he did not do it during the Moed, he needs to check after the Moed up until dark. The Gemara concludes that the correct understanding of the Mishnah is that Rabbi Yehuda really agrees to the Chachamim that a person is only required to search for chametz one of these three times. The only argument regarding searching after the chametz prohibition goes into effect. Rabbi Yehuda holds that he can't do it any longer, gezer dilma asil mechomine, as a decree against the possibility if he were to find chametz, he might come to eat it. Whereas the Chachamim hold that he may still do it after the time of burning the chametz. Rashi explains this is true only on the afternoon of the 14th, when the chametz is forbidden, but not yet subject to a penalty of karas. Daf Yudalv. So the Siman Daf Yudalv is stars, like the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. There were so many dazzling gold stars. Stars, that must be more in Daf Yudalv. There were so many dazzling gold stars hanging all over the marketplace of Yerushalayim, full of flour and roasted grain. Which reminds us, the Gemara explained on Daf Yudam Abbas that the reason that Rabbi Yehuda holds that one cannot do bedika once it becomes forbidden to eat chametz, gezer dima asil mechomine, because of a decree against the possibility that if you were to find chametz, he might come to eat it while handling it. The Gemara asks that we have another Mishnah from Menachem that states that after the Karban HaOmer was brought, the markets of Yerushalayim were already full of flour and roasted grain from the new produce. It's evident that the flour was harvested, ground, and sifted before Pesach. Rabbi Meir said that the Chachamim did not approve that people had prepared the produce before the Karban HaOmer was brought, because they might have eaten it. And Rabbi Yehuda said that they did approve of this. We see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we are not concerned that one will eat something forbidden while he's busy with it. Abaye answered, Chadesh bilimine, chametz bilimine. A person is detached from chadesh since he's not accustomed to eat from it all year and therefore not in the habit of picking some up and putting it in his mouth without thinking. A person is not detached from chametz and therefore we are concerned that a person will eat it without thinking after it became prohibited. Two other answers were given. So there were so many dazzling gold stars hanging over the marketplace of Yerushalayim full of flour and roasted grain that people couldn't tell if it was the 5th hour or the 7th hour. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, where Mer says, Ochlin kol chametz v'sorfin v'tchil sheish, that one may eat chametz the entire 5th hour of the 14th of Nisan, and one must burn it at the beginning of the 6th hour. Rashi explains that even though midrashim say chametz is permissible to eat the entire 6th hour, the rabbanan is forbidden because people might make a mistake and think that the 7th hour is the 6th hour and eat chametz. But the Yehuda disagrees and says, Tolin kol chametz, we suspend chametz during the 5th hour. Rashi explains that this means that although one may feed chametz to his animals during the 5th hour, he may not eat chametz during this time. Rashi explains Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning that we're concerned that it will be the 7th hour, and one will think that it's the 5th hour and eat chametz. So there are so many dazzling gold stars hanging all over the marketplace of Yerushalayim full of flour and roasted grain that people couldn't tell if it was the 5th hour or the 7th hour. And witnesses to a murder testified it occurred on different days. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Mishnah from Sanhedrin in order to eventually introduce a difficulty with our Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah states that if one witness testifies that someone killed a person on the 2nd of the month, and a second witness testifies that he killed on the 3rd of the month, Idusin Kayemis, their testimony is upheld. The reason is that we assume that they're testifying about the same event, just that the witness who says the 2nd day of the month was aware that the month before him was 30 days, and the witness who testified the 3rd day thought that the previous month was 29 days. However, if one testified that it happened on the 3rd of the month, and the other testified that it happened on the 5th of the month, Idusin Batela, their testimony is disqualified. As Rashi explains, it can't be that a person was 2 days off in their count of the date. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos Shabbos and Erevin. Number 1. Which stuff did we learn? One is not chayav to search in holes and cracks because of the danger of scorpions. That's on Duff. Ches. Good. Number two. Which stuff do you want if a mouse with chametz went into a searched home and bedikah was done and it isn't found, one does not need to do another bedikah? That's on daf. Yud. Good. Number three. Which stuff do you want the difference between chakiros and bedikos? That's on daf. Yud beis. Good. Number four. Which stuff do you want? Rav Meir says chametz becomes forbidden with the rabban from the end of the fifth hour. Rav Yehuda says at the end of the fourth hour. That's on daf. Yudov. Good. Number five. Which after we discuss the various opinions regarding the Malkokas, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, about barrels of wine in the cellar. That's on Daf. Ches. Good. Number six. Which after we learn the different times that people eat in the morning. That's on Daf. Yud Beis. Good. Number seven. Which after we learn why Rabbi Yehuda was concerned that one might come to eat chametz after the Bedikah, but not Chadash, before the Omer was brought. That's on Daf. Yudov. Good. Number eight. Which stuff is it that we learn a candle must be used for the bedikah from psukim that connect metziah to chippus and chippus to neros? That's on daf. Zayin. Good. Number nine. Which stuff do we have malchokas with Yehuda and the Chachamim whether a bedikah is done after the time of biur? That's on daf. Yud. Good. And number ten. Which stuff do we learn that we can assume one mouse dragged chametz into an unsearched house and the other mouse dragged matzah into the checked house? That's on daf. Test. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one, which daf do you learn the importance of a makam kavua? That's on daf. Vav and brachas. Good. Number two, which daf do you learn about the qualities of Rabbi Meir? That's on daf. Yid, Gimel, and Erevin. Good. And number three, which daf are we introduced to Machu Ben Drosai? That's on daf. Chaf and Shabbos. Excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldham. Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.